feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy.
Oh, one more time with all our hearts now.
The windows of heaven are open.
Oh, believe it tonight now.
The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything.
Oh, you believe that tonight. Hallelujah.
I gave him my old tattered garment.
Hallelujah, Lord.
He gave me a robe of pure white.
I'm
feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
Oh, how I appreciate that real Holy Ghost worship.
Amen.
People that really love God, they didn't come here and say, oh, look at brother so-and-so, he's doing that. I'll start doing it. No, it's, oh, Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus,
amen.
Lord, I see you here. And I'm just here to thank you for what you've done for me. If we could just get up into heavenly places to where everybody else fades away, and all it is you and Jesus.
Amen.
Things will happen tonight.
Yes, amen.
The windows of heaven are open. You say, brother, how do you know that? Where two or three gather in his name, he will be here.
Amen.
It's up to you to believe it today.
Yes, that's right.
You may be seated for a minute. Some of y'all don't know I was going, I suppose. Just Wednesday to Wednesday, but we were gone this past weekend. I feel I should share a little bit here. We had a pretty good time down in Alabama and in Indiana, where Ellie's family's at. I thought I was going to get Sunday off. Well, I walked in there, and there's just something about it, you know. People know, he's a preacher. So I walked in there, and for some reason, the whole time I was like, I'm pretty sure he's going to ask me to preach. So. You know, you get the old butterflies going a little bit and stuff, but I think they're Jesus' name Pentecostal or something like that, but I just call him brother anyhow.
Sure.
I'll leave that up to the Lord Jesus to tell me who's saved and who ain't saved. Brother Branham tells a story when he walked into at some like diner or something, and he was just having a good time in the Lord, and then he looked in there and there was some policeman on the slot machine with his hand over a woman. There was some drunk woman over there and some boys over there goofing off doing what they were doing. And he said, God, how can you stand looking at this filth?
That's right. That's what he said.
He said, why don't you come down and just wipe this off the earth?
That's what he said. Amen.
And what happened?
That's right.
The Lord put him in a vision.
Yeah.
And he saw the Lord Jesus' blood around the whole earth.
Amen.
And as he walked, he would do something wrong, and we'd watch as it went up and it hit Jesus in the face.
Amen. That's right.
The prophet said, Jesus wouldn't have been standing there, it would have hit God. And that means judgment. That means I would have died. Because the day you sin, that day you die. But in this, aren't you grateful for right now that the blood of Jesus Christ is over the whole earth? Even the sinner right now is under that blood right now. But there's going to come a day, church, when that blood will be taken from the earth, and then you have to go to the presence of God on your own merit. God have mercy for your soul at that time. But praise be to God, the prophet said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, did I do that to you?
Right.
Said, yes, but I forgave you.
That's
what about her?
Right. Yes, yeah. That's right.
Said, Lord, then forgive me for saying who's in and who ain't.
Right. Amen.
Even as I told the church down there in Alabama, I said, look, that might be some prostitute out there. You don't know if that's a daughter of God or not just yet.
Right.
She just might be in a cage still.
Right.
Rahab the harlot, who would have thought she was predestinated seed?
Yeah.
But she was.
Yes.
All she needed was for somebody to tell her what the word said.
Amen.
And then something on the inside said, that's right.
Amen.
I believe that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I've been walking to these things in Jericho. And I thought it was pretty good. I tried to be a prostitute and things. It just didn't work out. But the second she heard from Joshua's messengers, that hit something real.
Yeah.
And if you really hit something real once, your life will change in a moment.
Praise God.
I don't believe in this 10-year conversion things.
Nope.
Once you meet Jesus, your life is different.
That's
the
truth.
Amen.
We had a good time there. Alabama, though, just preached a simple message. It's one of those things where you just start reading the scripture and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know he does. And before I knew it, I'd been, Ellie tell you, Moses, back to Revelation, back over here and back over there. Didn't go up there with one thing in notes either. That was different for me. Praise the Lord. I I felt pretty good about that, actually. When I began to realize, and even the Lord, I believe, was teaching me, total dependence upon Him. We're not being, I don't know what, babies because we totally depend on Him. That's what He wants.
That's right.
That's when you know you're a real Christian. When it's not me that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. I'm not doing anything. I've given it all to Jesus Christ. And He does it right every time.
That's right. Praise God.
So I didn't quite... I was hoping for a chance for to throw the message in there, and I did in my preaching. Don't worry about that, though. I wasn't afraid to tell it the way it is, you know.
Right.
But I believe that there's saints out there, church. This church was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you think this is the middle of nowhere? You think this is a little building? No. You ain't seen nothing yet. You go on my wife's Facebook, it's got a picture of that place. But I just thank God that God will come where anybody believes.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
If there's just two or three out there, He will show up. And I believe He did that service. I felt a spirit. It was a good time in the Lord. People, they all came up and said, we just sure appreciate that. And they said, brother, you come here again, you better be ready because we're going to have you preach again for us. So.
All right. Praise God.
Maybe at that time, well, Lord willing, right? We never know what He might do. I don't mean to prolong the time, but I just appreciate the things that God does. Even when you're there fellowshipping with Ellie's grandma and the family and things, it's one thing to be a light in the midst of a dark age.
Amen.
When people are going to and fro and got their heads all cut off, don't know what's going here and there, they look at me and my wife and we're just the little happy family that everybody wants.
Yeah, right.
How we need to appreciate what God has done for us. Let's give Him a hand clap. Just keep the family in prayer. I guess I'll share one thing that happened down there. Ellie has an older brother, and I was sitting there. I was just praying. You just want a chance to say something, to do something. But if you just start chomping through doors, it ain't going to work. It has to be the Lord on both sides. And this conversation came out of nowhere. He began to tell me that he believes he's atheist now, and that, he thinks that God is just, if it helps people, that's fine, but, there's no real thing to it or nothing. So I let him go on for a while. I didn't shut the door on him. I let him talk his spiel. That's all right. I'll listen. And even there were some things I agreed with him. I said, yeah, that's right. Because if there ain't no God, we might as well just live, eat, and drink, and be married, because that's all we're going to live for. And that's exactly what he said. And I said, and I wanted to say, you're on the right road. You're looking the wrong direction. Because what you're saying is the truth. You're just heading that way where nothing means anything. But if you'll turn around one time and see eternal life on this side, where you have a purpose, where there's a reason to exist, where everything you do brings glory to God. And it doesn't just fall on the ground vain and just doesn't mean nothing. It's gone tomorrow. No. That's a terrible way to live. He even told me at one point, sometimes I feel like killing myself because we don't got a purpose here. And I said, well, that's all fine and dandy. I said, but, you ever read the story of Moses, the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud? And, he kind of recalled that. I said, well, I've seen those, so I can't be an atheist. I hope you understand what I mean. Some of us, like Brother Branham said, we've seen enough that you couldn't tell us there ain't no God. What the devil likes to do is tell you that he don't love you, that he loves somebody else. I even shared, and I'll just do it. I ain't trying to lift up nobody or even myself, but I know my dad has seen the angel of the Lord a few times in his life, and even here recently he let my mom see him too, just so we knew. These are real. They're really here, church. Even last Wednesday when I stood up here, I didn't have to physically see it, but I knew it was here. And I said it, and others got to see it as witnesses that God was here. The pillar of the cloud was here last Wednesday night. Now here's where I want you to come up a little bit. He's here every service.
Amen.
He's here every day of your life.
Amen.
He's never too far away.
Right.
And for those of you that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He's within you.
Amen.
You never have to go find Him.
Right.
He's always there. Don't go around saying, Jesus, Jesus. He's right there.
Yes.
Talk to Him.
Amen.
That's enough for that. But we had a good time to stand together as we read the Word here, Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody's still expecting to hear from the Almighty God tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that God is alive. Hebrews chapter 4. Start at verse 14. I'm going to read down through chapter 5 some. So just be patient with me tonight. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men, and thanks pertain to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I'd like to preach tonight the only high priest. The one and only high priest. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship that we've had, and to be in real spirit-filled worship. Lord, I appreciate that, knowing that as we go across the world, it's just getting rarer and rarer all the time, people that actually worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, and I thank you for that being here tonight. By faith, I believe that you are here, Lord, and you're here to do exceedingly abundantly more than anything we could ask or think. I pray that the word tonight would take root into every heart, and it would change the lives of the people, Lord, to bring them a little closer to you than they were before. If they don't know you, if they think they do, but they're lying to themselves, Lord, and Satan's had them deceived, I pray that tonight that the pillar of fire would come down, Lord, and it would expel all the darkness in this place. If there's any darkness within us, if we've done anything wrong that's displeased you, Father, forgive us tonight and wash us again by your blood. We invite your spirit here, Lord, move in a mighty way. Save those lost. Heal those that are sick. Encourage those that are discouraged. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The only high priest. Got a few directions I felt to go tonight. Well, I'm trusting him to go the right direction tonight. Verse 14 in chapter 4. Seeing then. So that's the first thing you have to recognize right now. Do not put the Bible as a textbook, a literature of just something that's a good idea, something that you go, well, I think it's all right. I'll line up to this because I think it's logical. No, no, no. Seeing that we have a person that we are here to worship tonight.
Right.
That he is not a pillar. He's not a post. He's not a church building. He's not that picture. He is alive. He is a person. And he wants to talk to you. Seeing that we have a high priest. And I love how the Bible says it. A great high priest. How many knows that the Lord Jesus is great? Now one thing I want to emphasize here is that he is the one and only priest. As we type out the Old Testament, I could go back there and show you. But the order of the Levitical priesthood at the time was the high priest, which had to be a son of Aaron. And he was elected by the Sanhedrin for who knows how long. Before that, it was elected by God. God would choose who would be the high priest. And it always had to be a son of Aaron. Underneath that would be the other sons of Aaron that weren't the high priest were all priests. They would stand, they would do the sacrifices the same as the high priest. But when it came down to who called the shots, the high priest did, not the priest. They yielded themselves to him. Under that were all the Levites, which were all the sons of Levi that would minister in all the house of God. They would be the musicians. They would be the ones to repair the place. They'd be the ones to take the offering. Everything that was in the church of God was in the house of Levi. And that's the way it was established. But look, a lot of people want to take that and apply it to the New Testament church in a direct type, and you cannot do it. Because if you do that, you will have Nicolaitanism, just the same as the Catholic Church does, because that's the system they are under. Because in order for a man under the old priesthood to get to God, he had to go to a Levite and have an intercessor between him and God. And that was God's plan for the time, because there was no atonement to make the person coming completely whole before his presence. Because God cannot stand in sin. So if you try to walk into the presence of God with sin in your life, you will not be able to stand there. And it's the grace of God you live through an experience like that. Remember what Samuel, I believe it was Samson's father and mother said when they saw the angel go up in the fire. They said, he said, we're going to die. We've seen God. And God was gracious, he said. Remember, his wife said, why would God show us these things if he would kill us? Right. Can you put that into your life now?
He's saying, why do you see the things that you see?
Amen.
You know, most people can't read this Bible and get that there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them get that there's only one God and he's way out there and we're over here.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
What did Jesus say? Blessed are your eyes, for you see things that kings desire to see into. Do you understand that Moses will be jealous of what you got to have down here?
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking no bad jealousy. I'm talking godly jealousy. David will look and go, man, I wish I could have lived in Laodicea. Look at that victory they had over there. See how we got to get the carnal mind out the door. Because, yeah, I understand down on this life, it's the worst it's ever been in the history, man. But if you raise up in the heavenly places, God has unleashed himself in a way that has never been done since the world began. The things that Christ did as one man now can move through any believer. You say, I can lay hands on the sick and they will get well? Yes. I can put my hands on a dead body and life will come back to it? Yes. Because it's not you. It's the life of God within you. And if the life of God spoke and said, Adam, come alive. Then that same life that's within me can look at a dead body and say, Spirit, where are you at? Get back in that body where you belong.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And if you recognize that sickness and sadness and all these things are just evil spirits,
yes.
Let me call them what they really are. Devils.
Yes.
You know how sometimes people use evil spirits kind of, he's just got a bad spirit. Well, last I checked, if you're a bad spirit, you're a devil. So if you're walking around with a bad spirit, it's time to get cast out a demon out of your life. Not time to sit there and whitewash the devil now. And I had ways to go tonight, and that was none of them. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing the heaven, Jesus the Son of God. So who is the one and only high priest for us? It is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And under Jesus Christ is every single believer.
Yes. Amen.
We are all priesthood.
Yes.
We believe that tonight, correct?
Yes.
I am not your intercessor.
Right.
Do not make me your intercessor. I am not your high priest.
Right.
I cannot go into the presence of God for you.
Right. Amen.
I can pray for you.
Yes.
I can ask God to be entreated in your life.
Right.
But that is not the fellowship he desires.
Right. Right.
Because it's a marriage,
yes,
church.
Yes.
I don't take no person, no matter how close they are into my life, in my bedroom with me and my wife.
Right.
That's for us.
Right.
And your relationship with Christ is supposed to be
yes,
you in him.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Don't ever put a person in between there. Mm. You can do it with anything.
Yes, you can.
You can say, oh, God only comes to my house when I play the prophet.
Mm.
That's true.
I hope you understand what I'm saying. God only does it when I do this. Then the president. No. It's when you fall in love with him.
Amen.
Then you recognize that he's always there.
Yeah.
He doesn't take vacation and then come back and then doesn't want to be with you for a while. No, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are walking out of the house and having to walk back in. Just stay in the camp. Stay in the presence of God. Don't leave.
Amen.
Say, brother, how do I do that? Talk to him. Commune with him.
Amen.
What did the prophet say? Why doesn't Jesus show himself? Because we don't talk about him enough.
Right.
That's right.
And I like to say this, we don't talk to him enough.
That's right.
A lot of people like to talk about him, but don't act like, that'd be like if I'm sitting in a room and you're talking about me. After a while, I'm going to get a little offended because I'm right here.
Yeah.
Why not ask me about it?
Right.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? That was free. How many times we sit here and have a conversation about the Lord and then we never take the second to think, what does he think about it? Why don't we go get the Bible out real quick and see what the Lord's got to say about this?
That's right. Amen. That's good.
Praise God. He never ceases to amaze me. So as what I want to break down tonight more than anything is to recognize that he is the only high priest you have. God wants no one in between you and him. If that can happen with every person tonight, you will have all the peace you'll ever need. You'll have all the joy you'll ever need. You'll have all the power you'll ever need.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's all within your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
That is the message of the hour. You in him. No denomination in the way. No creed in the way. No intercessors. No priests. No bishops. No councils. None of that nonsense.
Amen.
You in him. Verse 15. Now, let's talk about this only high priest that we have. And I want to emphasize that as well. There's nobody else up there. This is it. So we better figure out what he's like.
Amen.
I think that's important, isn't it? Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? This high priest knows what it's like to have a headache.
Amen.
This high priest knows what it's like to lose a loved one. This high priest knows what it's like to have your back hurt so bad you can't hardly stand.
Yeah.
So, Brother Andrew, how'd you know that? Because I just went through it myself.
Yeah.
Some of you here, was it Sunday or Sunday before? You might not notice it by the help of the Lord, but I was trying to just stand up here as I was preaching. But look, should we go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others sailed to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? We have trials to go through. That's fine. But if you'll just stay in the presence of God, it is just fine.
Yes.
It's
Amen.
Just all right because you recognize Amen. That these things are happening for your good.
Amen.
If you can recognize that pain is spiritual and raise up into the spirit a little bit, you'll realize that pain's down here and you're supposed to live up here.
Amen.
You think glorified bodies feel pain?
Nope.
I'm not expecting to. That's why I don't believe this. We're in the millennium stuff. Because I'm not here to live like I am right now. I'm here putting down payments on what's coming in the world to come. A body that never gets tired, that never gets sick, that never feels confusion, that never has fear, that never has a doubt, that always thinks the word of God. Perfect love. That's what I'm living for tonight.
Amen.
And that's all I have to present to people is this God of love. This God that stands on the throne. And as you do things wrong, he goes, Father, I know what it's like to be down there. Forgive them.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Now I want to talk about this high priest. We all know that Jesus Christ, at least I hope you believe that Jesus Christ was God Almighty, made a man. But for God, in order to do that, I hope this doesn't get too deep, God had to take his own power away from himself so he could experience what you and I go through.
Right.
He knew all about it. Don't worry. He didn't learn in the sense that we think of learning like that. He learned by actually walking into it himself.
Sure.
Jesus didn't have a special birth. He had a birth just like you and me. Worse. How many of you were born next to a pig and a horse that just had some manure? No, we are all nice, comfy hospitals. Most of us are, but well taken care of. But here's back then, life wasn't guaranteed back then by no stretch of the imagination. Childbirth was a health risk right there in itself. But God ordained that baby would be born there. Why? To show what God was doing. God was becoming the absolute lowest that the world has ever seen. I'm talking about a high priest that knows how to relate to you.
Yes.
Quit putting him as a superman that just, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does. He went through everything of it. You say, well, he was never a sinner. Yes, he was.
Yes.
He was a sinner walking around with your sins.
That's right. That's right.
Why do you think he was so burdened his whole life? Because the sins of the world were upon him. He had to bear every one of them.
Amen.
And we think bearing our sin was hard. Yeah, it was when we were in the things of the world, but imagine walking around when everything that ever was done wrong was put upon you as a punishment.
Amen.
And you did none of it.
Right.
Shows you the characteristics of God, doesn't it?
Sure, amen.
Now let me read through what the Bible says here and why it's saying this. Verse 16, I'll come back to this in a minute. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. For every high priest taken from among men, I like to emphasize that, when a man decides to pick a man, look what you're about to get here. When you get a high priest from ordained about men, is ordained for things that pertain to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins.
Right.
So what is this high priest? This is a high priest that says, I am in the same boat that you are. I'm a man like you are. I have infirmity like you are. But this was to a different level because this man had to actually offer sins for himself because he was a sinner just like everyone else.
Amen.
And that's all you get when you take a man as your headship and not Christ. You will get a man that will fail you. If your revival is because of this four-walled building, it will fail you.
Yeah,
sure.
If your revival is because you like Brother Andrew's haircut or my way of preaching or whatever, it will fail you. And I try to emphasize that so much because I wish you could go home with me every day and realize how much I fail God. I believe in grace, church. I believe in coming into a high priest that stood in my place.
Amen. Amen.
That when I make mistakes, he's there to say,
yes.
Father, forgive him.
Yes.
And I'm there to say, Lord, I'm sorry. My wife knows what it's really like to live with me. She knows the times where I have to come home and say, honey, I'm sorry. And I treat her just like I do the Lord. I don't care if I did it yesterday. Go make it right now.
Amen.
Don't go, well, I already confessed that. Or I just did that. Don't worry about it. What else are you going to do? How are you going to change the past? You can't do it. The only thing God ever required out of you when you make a mistake is repent of it.
Amen.
And the second you repent by perfect faith and you will let God, let his presence come back on you, you will recognize that it's washed away.
Amen.
And he doesn't recognize it anymore.
Amen.
It's gone.
Amen.
But what's the problem? People bring sin into their lives that Christ already forgave.
Amen.
And we're all guilty of doing that. And the second you do that, you lose your fellowship because you've brought sin into your life. What is sin again? I ask. It's unbelief. Don't just say, oh, I cursed, or I did this wrong, or I had this bad feeling. No, it's you disbelieve the Word before you ever did that.
Sure, amen.
Because the Word told you not to do it. You disbelieved it and did it anyways.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Are we going to stop using our own works to save ourselves? Is that going to happen here? We are saved. By grace. It's never anything you ever did. Never. It's not what you were baptized a certain way. It's not that you had this wonderful experience. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you believing what the Bible says and applying it to your life. And God come around and said, this is right. And it seals you with this Spirit to where your life is no longer the same. If you walk the same way you did before your conversion, you're not converted.
Amen.
You're not saved. You're not in the covenant. There must be a complete change from the inside out.
Amen.
It shouldn't be, well, I gotta do this, and I can't do this, and I gotta kick out my TV. I gotta walk the other way from the cigarettes. No, it should be, I don't even want that filth anymore. That's when you know something's happened to me.
Amen.
The things I used to do, I do them no more.
Amen.
You see how that is? It's just the way it is. I just don't do them anymore. Verse 4, and no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, so as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And then also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I don't want to get into Melchizedek, we'll do that in a few chapters here. But what I want you to show is that this high priest was God Almighty becoming our high priest. And what he did, first off, he became like us.
Amen.
I just want to emphasize, he came down and condescended to the lowest form of man he could come and still be kinsman with us. On top of that, he did it in such a way that he was not calling himself to be a high priest. He had to do it to where the Word said he would be a high priest, and he just walked into it.
Amen.
It's just like God when he said he wanted to swear. We swear by the greater, right?
Yeah.
When you say, this is an oath, I swear it on my mother's grave. And things like that, we always pick something greater than us. Well, God looked around and said, I got to make a promise to Abraham. I can't find nothing greater. So I'll just swear by myself.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what he did. And it's the same here. He wanted to find somebody else that could call the Word to bring forth himself. But the only thing he could do was speak it himself and then come down to form where it didn't even look like it was him. That's why people didn't recognize who he was. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get to.
Amen.
He came so humble that he wasn't even calling himself.
Amen.
He says, I don't even do the works. The Father doeth the works. In this form, he wasn't omnipotent. He wasn't all powerful. He had to go to the restroom like you and I. He had to eat food like you and I. He got tired like you and I. He had to take a nap even so bad. One time he was so tired, there was a ship rocking and rolling all over the sea, and he was still snoozing.
Yeah.
He was tired.
Yeah. And even when he came out, he didn't say, it's all right, boys. You know, he said, where's your faith? Where's our rest at tonight?
Hallelujah.
You say, my ship's a rolling and a rocking. I don't know where my life's going. Where's your faith at?
Amen.
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 All things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
And there's the question right now. This is where the whole gospel gets put into your lap. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Not do you love His church? Do you love His word? That's all great. Do you love singing to Him? That's wonderful. You love coming to church. You love paying your time. That's all great. But do you love Him?
Amen.
And until you can say, I know I do. He's everything to me. You still got an altar of repentance to find somewhere because your experience is wrong. The only assurance you will ever have is that you personally know Him, talk to Him, and He talks back. What do you think is going to give you faith to walk up to death and say, where's your sting, death? We know in the natural man, anytime he gets close to death, he gets afraid. Prove that, go to a hospital. I can't stand going to a hospital. My, there is fear on every inch of that place. And if you stay down in that realm, you'll feel it. And it's awful because man doesn't want to die. We weren't made to die. And it's not natural. That's why we feel that.
Amen.
Way. But there's coming a time, church, when there will be no such thing as death. It's true. It's real. Aren't you grateful that these things are not fairy tales? I'm not telling you a nice Santa Claus story. This is reality.
Yes.
If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you have a down payment of going over there.
Amen.
How many of you would put a down payment on a house and are afraid if you'll be able to move in or not?
Good.
See, that's kind of simple. Yeah, there we go. God is hidden in simplicity.
Amen.
You say, is He here tonight? Yes, He is. Why? It's so simple that if you're looking for, where's the lightning? Where's the thunder? Where's the earthquakes? Remember Elijah went through that one time. And he just sat there and waited. He said, that was, he never condemned it. He said, that's great. Where's that voice?
Amen.
Amen.
It's the same in a service. You see that you feel the presence of God come down. That's all wonderful. And I believe in worship and praising. If you know anybody believes in worship and praising, it's Brother Andrew. I like getting excited. I like feeling good. But I never based my experience off that. I based it when my life changed. When the life that's within me, as I tried to be a Christian for years, and now it's just what I was.
Amen.
That's when you know something's happened. And until that happens in your life, you're only staggering around blind. And walking around with an old ecclesiastical cane trying to get around somewhere. Well, the prophet did say a bit, you know, these signs fall in that belief. No. You're supposed to know the will of the Father.
Amen.
Not guesswork. Know what He wants done, when He wants it done, how He wants it done. You say, bro, that's a lot to figure out. That's why He never left it up to us.
Right.
Let this mind.
Amen.
That was in Christ.
Yes.
Being in you.
Yes.
Amen.
I like that word let. It's all in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to let go of your mind long enough?
Amen.
Your doubts,
Amen.
Your frustrations, Amen. your interpretations of the word that always bring you down in the dumps? Go ahead and throw that in the trash and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. You thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Amen.
Why? Because He has brought us into such a fellowship.
Amen.
As we read in the book of Revelations, you can look it for yourself. He says, I will make them that are the synagogue of Satan come here and worship you.
Yes.
That's what He said. Why? Because He wants us to be one.
Yes.
He says, I wish, or He prayed that they would be one, speaking of us, the church,
Amen.
As Him and the Father were one.
Amen.
And He turned around and said, when you see me, you see the Father.
Amen.
He wants the same thing out of us. Saying, how is that possible? It's not in yourself. That's why He took care of it 100% by Himself. He is the great high priest.
Amen.
He said, I know they can't come into the presence of God, but I will go into the presence of hell myself. Pay the payment.
Amen.
Pay the payment in full.
Amen.
One time.
Amen.
The blood of Christ was good for sin, then past eternity, any time sin ever existed, it paid it all.
Amen.
And the only way you're not a benefactor of that is you will not accept it upon the basis of your repentance
Amen.
Of that sin. That's all God wants out of you. But the second you do, the payment is paid in full.
Amen.
And that's why you are worthy of these things.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't miss eternal
glory. Yes,
it's never going to be us. It's never going to be we did this or that. It will always be what He did at Calvary.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When He died on the cross.
Yes.
And all these things that we have are attributes of that.
Yeah.
When He said it was finished. He met sin. He met death. He met sickness. He met hardship. He met heartache. He met it was all finished. The only thing that will go on are things that are eternal. And the only things eternal were in God at the beginning, which was you and me.
Yes.
You have to identify, I was there.
Yes.
And it's not just about you saying it. It's about, I'm trying not to get ahead, but he said he's the high priest of our confession.
Yeah.
So as you say it, you have to believe it. And he will be the high priest who stands in your way and says, I will accept that word and send it back because they're saying exactly what I said.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because the same mind that was in Christ is now in you, and it's saying the same thing back to him so it can respond on both sides. It's a deep calling to a deep.
Yes. Amen.
And when those two things meet, things happen.
Yes, they do.
The only thing that stops the presence of God is you clog the channel somewhere only by unbelief. You're doubting your position in Christ somewhere. And if you're living in sin, you have right to doubt. Because this child of God doesn't act like a sinner. They're changed. They're of a new kingdom.
Amen.
Brother Bram's daughter even came and said, I went to these girls over here and they did this and that. Why don't we do that? He said, we're not from the same kingdom.
Right.
We're not from the same nation. He said, don't we live in the same place? Said, no, honey. We're from another land.
Amen.
From a land where there ain't jealousy, where there ain't hate, where there ain't anger, where there ain't bills to pay, because they all been paid.
Amen.
Who is this high priest? Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we could go back to those passages, but you know that's what I was trying to say earlier. The word proclaimed it, God spoke it, and then he came in a form where he could accept it on the same basis that you and I do, which is by faith.
Amen.
He walked in the land just like you have, so that we would be without excuse. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. That ought to humble you and me tonight. Christ was in a place, God allowed him to get into such a condition that he could fear what was going to come. Because he even said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He said, but if there's any way, let this cup pass from me.
Yes.
Remember, he was the Word. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that one of his best disciples were going to turn on him. Remember, Judas was just like all the rest of them. Don't you walk around and think Judas was puffing a cigarette after service, hiding somewhere and drinking booze and looking at women. No. It was so to the point where Jesus said, one of you will betray me. They all looked at each other and said, is it me?
That's right.
Because Judas, man, keep it Judas. Man, he's twice the preacher I am. Had nothing to do with that in the first place because Jesus knew their hearts.
Amen.
He knew that Judas, what was his whole intention the whole time? Was the money. That's all he wanted. And you watch that take place in the church now. It's the biggest stumbling block the church has ever had is when ministers fall in love with money and not God. As the prophet of God said, there's three things that a minister falls for: money, women, or popularity. I hope you trust tonight that I'm not doing any of those. I have no intentions of any money. I haven't even taken my own tithes back. Is that all right? I thought of that the other day. I guess the Lord just brought it by me. Because as a Christian, when you take anything, it's just... But you know, people give it to you. That's the thing I was going to say down there in Alabama. They took an offering for me. You know how hard it was to accept that? I see these old, these people that love God out in the middle of nowhere are going to come to a church that no glamour to be here for. There ain't no way to show off to. This is just, here we are. And they took an offering for me because I preached for them. I didn't deny it because as Jesus, he said, remember we saw the woman give two mites and he said he let her do it. Because I believe they'll be blessed for doing that.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
I just love the Lord. I just love how humble he is, that he would come. And even for me, that did something for me. That made me feel loved in a way you just can't explain it with words.
Amen.
Jesus Christ really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, oh, I did that for somebody. Yeah, that'll come around and give some people eternal life. Do you
Amen.
Understand that? Do you know who you are right now?
Amen.
You are a son or daughter of God. And how people treat you is how God will judge them.
Amen. Amen.
That ain't something for you to walk around and go, bless God, you treat me bad, you go to hell. That just proves you ain't a son or daughter of God. What did Jesus do when they came against him? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
I love to jump the aisles and feel good, but that ain't what the Lord wants us tonight. He wants us to check up.
Amen.
He wants us to know if we're really what we say we are.
Amen.
If we're really where the rubber meets the road. When we ain't got no pride. We ain't got no jealousy. We ain't got nothing of our own. We are here to love God.
Amen.
And that's it. That's the only place you'll find a purpose, church, is in the presence of God.
Yes.
My, when you get into it one time, it don't take long to go, the Lord tastes good.
Amen.
Come and see that the Lord tastes good. Who in the days of his flesh, verse 7 again, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears with him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And why would any of us be any different? He's saying, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through that? If you look at the times where you got to express God in the highest potential, it's when you suffered the most.
Amen.
When somebody stabs you in the back, it might not have to be a real sword or a real knife, but if somebody stabs you and destroys your character behind your back, and you, honest to God, love them, and get down on your knees and say, Father, forgive them.
Right.
They don't know what they're doing. That's when you find out if something's happened in your life or not.
Amen.
Well, I've spoken tongues. I've prophesied. I've preached the gospel. I've done. That don't mean nothing with your salvation.
Amen.
I pay my tithes. I'm faithful. I do this. I do that. And as long as it's you did this, you did that, you are lost. You won't be there because you're trying to get to heaven on your own merit, and God never asked you to do that.
Amen.
He asked them in the Old Testament, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And what was the whole reason he gave that to them? Just to prove to them, you can't do it.
Right.
And then Jesus came around and said, well, you thought you could do that. Here you go. If you even look at a woman in lust, you already committed adultery. And that took every brother and said, we're done for.
Sure. That's right.
He said, if you even speak bad, you've committed a murder against your brother.
That's right.
You without a cause. There goes all the rest of us, right? Yep, done that one.
Amen.
That's why Jesus magnified the law. He put the magnifying on the glass on the law to show that, oh, you thought this was it? No, God can look all the way down to the very deepest intention you ever had. He knows the why of everything.
Amen.
And that's what everybody's looking for, aren't they? Why are we here? Why do I exist? Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel... And the only way you'll ever find an answer is in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he becomes your personal contact, where you commune with him. He communes back. And then you start recognizing, this is who I am. There's only one book in the world that can tell you where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here. And that's the Bible. And you know that God in this day has given us the Word in such a way. When I sat and think, what would I ask God if I could ask him? I realized I don't have anything left to ask anymore. If I go and ask him, Lord, why'd you love me? I already know that. It's because he saw himself in me.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was never me in the first place.
It
his life was in me. And that's why when I thought, why did you let this happen? And he goes, no, I already know the answer. He didn't let it happen. Man did it to himself. God comes around. What has he done? He's so opened the Word to where all the questions are gone.
Amen.
We have the perfect interpretation of the Word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Just accept it and apply it to your life. The Bible says, be ye holy as he is holy. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Right.
And you think as we read that, we would stop trying to do it in ourselves right now. But so often, it's so hard. And Paul dealt with it in so many churches. He said it to the Galatians. He said it to, I believe there's a couple others in there. He said, why do you keep trying to do your own righteousness? Stop.
Amen.
Don't you know you're frustrating the grace of God?
Yeah.
Don't you know that I was blameless when it came to the law and I had to repent as well? That's what Paul said. Because Brother Branham, I could read it. I'll just say it. He said, you come into this world. He said, I never saw one thing bad. I never did anything. You're still going to hell because you're attributed to the first sin.
Uh-huh.
person that ever was committed was back in the Garden of Eden. It was not somebody eating off an apple tree. It was Eve committing adultery with the serpent that produced Cain. And then she turned around and Adam accepted her back when he should have said, "Thou art a foolish woman, I'm staying with the word." But he didn't do it back because he was typing Christ that left the word to come bring the words back.
Amen.
And as that first sin moved into the human race and became God's permissive will for us to drop down into the realms of sex, which we were not supposed to do,
right.
Every one of us came that way.
Yeah.
Everybody here has a father and mother. Yeah. And you were born by sexual desire, and you are attributed to the first sin automatically.
Amen.
Why? Because when Adam sinned, where were you? You were in him. So as he sinned, every part of him became sinful. And it comes down, and you, as we said, you could look through the cells. There's some way that Adam's cell all the way down made me.
Yeah.
Sure.
It had to be there. Because it didn't come from somewhere else. It came from one human to the next human, so on and so forth. It has to be here. So we all are born in that sinful condition. But God, in his mercy, becoming the faithful high priest, a high priest that doesn't have his own infirmity. Aren't you grateful tonight? He doesn't have to go offer for himself. He says, "I will continually be offering for others all the time."
Amen.
Amen. Called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What is Melchizedek? Someone that never started.
Right.
Never ends.
Right.
When, as the prophet said, he must be alive tonight because he ain't never died yet.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's none other than Jesus Christ. What was Melchizedek? Melchizedek was a man. You could see him. Abraham talked to him. He ate food. What was it? God took some more dust of the ground and made a body, and he stepped into it, which is very similar to Christ, except he was not born like you and I. So that would have been Adam and his race, and then Melchizedek over here. Not a kinsman. And the Bible requires for us to be redeemed back, it must be somebody that's a kinsman.
Yes.
So what did Melchizedek do? He was over here, and he put himself into this lineage and was born of a woman named Mary.
Amen.
And took on the form of flesh like you and me. Sinful flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh, because he had none of his own.
Right.
But he took upon himself the sins of the world by his own choosing. And if you could recognize, you are his choice.
Yeah. Amen.
It wasn't, he said it, "You didn't choose me. I chose you."
Yeah.
You said, "I'm seeking God. I'm seeking God." No, you're not. God is seeking you.
Yeah.
God has been seeking. He sought for everyone. He went after Cain.
Yes.
Somebody he knew was the seed of the serpent. He went after him.
Yeah.
That gives us no excuse. "I don't want to go after him." No. Go after him.
Amen.
You say, "Well, they're lukewarm." Lot was down there in Sodom. What did Abraham do? He said, "Lord, can you have mercy if there's only 10 down there?" And remember, he even bargained with the Lord all the way down. 50, 40, 30. And he felt like we do sometimes. "I'm asking too much. I'm asking too much." And look, there wasn't even 10 down there. God found one, and he still wouldn't do it until he got him out of there. You wonder why this world is barely holding on by a thread? Why hasn't an atomic bomb shot yet? It's been 70 years now. And you think that was bad back then in World War II? They got something now, I'm sure, it would just wipe the United States gone.
Sure.
Like that. And the fallout would take out the rest of the world. And that's the way it's going to happen. I believe that. You know, they could have read the Bible and the prophecy said the whole world will burn with fire. And they thought, "Oh, that's, how's that going to happen? Must be a miracle." And now we know, no, man will do it to himself. Because man is stupid. When a man gets out of the presence of God, he becomes even worse than a beast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You think an animal stupid get a man out of the presence of God one time? He'll do things that an animal wouldn't even think to do.
Yeah.
When's the last time you see an animal go kill himself? Every animal I know tries to live. When are you going to find... I've heard a case one time of a man over in Korea was playing a video game and he starved to death because he wouldn't get off of it long enough to go eat. A man outside the presence of God, you're worse than a beast.
Yeah.
Especially a woman. A woman will do things out of the presence of God that no beast would ever do.
Come on.
But I'm thankful tonight for a high priest. I'm thankful for somebody that stands in the presence of God in my place. I ain't concerned with brother. I do. I love everybody and I want to see you there. But when it's all come down, I got to know, am I part of this? Lest myself, I should be a castaway. How can I preach salvation to others if I'm still caged up? I've got to know that I know that I know
that
I'm there.
Amen.
that he's interceded for my sins already, and he did it once on the cross, and I accepted that, and he took my book of life, not the Lamb's book of life now, the book of life written that was down here. He took his blood, took it. Remember the prophet said he put his hand into his side and wrote the word pardoned, and he threw it over his shoulder.
Hallelujah.
Saying, how do I know that's happened to me? Because you're not the same.
Amen.
That old doubt nature that said, well, you know, I think the word's right, but no, that goes away. That says, well, I do this, I do... No, that needs to fade away. We're going on to perfection.
Amen.
What is perfection? When you and Christ are one.
Yes.
And the only way you'll ever do that is to recognize that He became me. That I might become Him. Let's read that verse 8 there. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. Oh, I just love that. God came down in a way that he had to be made perfect again. God humbled himself so much. He was sitting in the glory of perfection. Remember he said, Father, let me have the glory that I had with you before the world was. Amen. So he was there, back there in a glorified, perfect. And he came down in a way that he was incomplete. He had to be perfected. Why? To show you and me it can be done.
Amen.
What was Jesus Christ? A man filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And why? Why didn't God require anything else? Because he knew that's enough to do it. That'll defeat the devil every time, every place, anywhere. Is a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost from head to toe. And you start walking around the world, the people are starting to realize that. The denominations are starting to realize that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whatever it is, they can't find it. They're looking for it. They're thirsty. How happy we should be that we found it.
Amen.
I'm not guessing I've got the Holy Ghost. I've received it. I can tell you when. I can tell you what happened. And I can tell you he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Because he's the same in my life as he is right here in the Word.
Amen.
And being made perfect. And what did John 1:12 say? I think it's 1:13 actually. Let me just flip there real quick. If you can get there faster than me, I guess you can read along. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Hallelujah. Those that have been born again, you've been given power to become the son or daughter of God. You always were.
Amen.
Because though he were a son, yet being made perfect. What makes perfection? Not that the seed has anything wrong with it. It's that the condition of you learning obedience.
Yeah.
If you learning how to suffer and to take it patiently and to not get all worried, not to start fighting back, but just to lay down your life and saying it's all working together for good, you will never find one time Jesus got excited, got worried, didn't know what was going to happen. He said, I've done this all at your command, Father. See this old body? I hate this thing. I want to praise God and hit this thing as hard as I want to and not have my hand bleed. There's a body that does that, church. And that's what I'm here living for. It's not a fairy tale. I know that that body is there. And it's calling me every day to a higher walk, saying, you can do it because Christ already did. You are part of Him.
Amen.
But as many as received unto them, gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Do you believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no other name whereby you must be saved. Not your own works, not the name of this church, not Brother Branham, not the message, you call it message. It has to be Christ, the person. 9. I'll try to close up here soon. And being made perfect, He became the author. I like that. Not the beginner. Now, this has always existed. He just wanted to write it down so you could read it.
Amen.
He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey Him. Called of God, as we said, so humble, He even said that God called me, not myself. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And why is that so important? Because you have to recognize that he is in the order of Melchizedek. He does not start. He does not stop. He does not get tired. He does not diminish. He has no descent. There's nobody coming after him. There's nobody that was before him. He always was. He always is the Almighty.
Amen.
And tonight he stands in your place.
Amen.
Asking you, if you're not in Christ, he's asking you to come in. There was a time when the tree of life, which was Christ, we know that, the tree of life, there was an angel guarding the way to the tree of life because the condition of the sinner, he knew that we didn't want sin to be eternal. So he said, when you became a sinner, you must leave because sin cannot become eternal.
Right.
So he sent an angel with a flaming sword saying, stay out.
Right.
But after the atonement was made, now the angel of the Lord is trying to push people in. Why? Because the only way in is through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And the second you pass through the blood,
amen,
you look just like him.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
It's not robbery to be equal with God.
Amen. That's right.
When you recognize you are accepting his atonement. People want to say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, then you just told me that Jesus wasn't worthy.
Right.
My sin's too great. He can't forgive me. You just told me Jesus Christ's atonement is not good enough.
Right. Amen.
You see how foolish that is of us.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been.
Amen.
I don't care where you are right now. You're saying, I'm supposed to have had the Holy Ghost for this many years and I've done this and that. Well, let's get it tonight.
Amen.
Remember, what's the day that God is concerned with?
Today.
Amen.
Remember, he gave us a rest. When is the rest? It's always
today.
And if you put it yesterday, you don't have rest right now, do you? You put it tomorrow, you don't have rest. It's an eternal rest. Heaven will not be tomorrow on this day. No, it's just now. Right here. It won't get any worse. And I guess it'll keep getting better, but anything's better than right now. You know what the prophet said? He said, I was over there and just, he said, I wasn't even in heaven yet because the angel said he's still higher. And he said, it was so sublime, I couldn't come up with words to express it.
Amen.
He said, we were just brothers and sisters. Aren't you happy to know that you're with brothers and sisters
yes.
right now?
Amen.
That's not just a nice thing we say. It's real.
Yes. Amen.
You really are from another kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
You are not from down here.
Right.
You have a high priest that has called you to come up into where he is.
Amen.
Not down here with these ordinances
Amen.
And, oh, I got to do this and I'm supposed to do this. No, come up here where it's just, I love God.
Amen.
I do these things just because I want to.
Yes.
Do you know, even if without salvation, even without heaven, the best way to live is by the Bible?
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Anybody figure out that adultery doesn't pay off?
Yeah.
Stealing doesn't pay off?
Right.
Lying doesn't pay off? These things, coveting somebody else's stuff, you'll live miserable their whole life. You might as well just be content.
Yeah.
Just living by the principles of the Bible is the best way to live down here.
Amen.
And if we can do that in a carnal way, what is it when it's really going to manifest itself in all of its potentials? As the prophet said, if we can feel so blessed down here with just a little down payment of what heaven's going to be like, why would we concern ourselves with anything else? Saying, brother, why are you stalling? Is God speaking to you tonight? Do you hear his voice? Or do you hear my voice? My voice won't do you any good.
Amen.
That's not why we're here.
Amen.
Jesus Christ wants you to know, and that's why we never get away from it. He wants you to know that you are loved.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Why does God hate sin? Because it'll kill you.
Amen.
And he loved you enough that instead of letting you die, he died himself. He said, I know. I can't change it. He said it. The day you eat, that day you die. The day you sin, it has to come into death. So he looked at it and said, then I will do it. How can we turn down such a merciful, grateful high priest? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and took it gladly when he could see what would happen when it was all done. Look at your trials and tribulations that way. Even right now. Evaluate your life and go, what will it be when I get over yonder?
Amen.
Anyhow. Why does this matter down here? And if you have that little bit of doubt, look, you're not going to be able to get rid of it yourself. Talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Let him speak to you and say, I forgive you.
Yeah.
To where it's not, I'm guessing if he forgave me.
Right.
He just told me.
Amen. Amen.
So I believe it. See, where are you going to hear him? It's that still, small voice. And the only ones that can hear are the elect. You can't make it up. You can't make him talk. But you can listen. How many knows that God speaks to you?
Amen.
So much more often than what we ever listen. Has he ever told you something that wasn't true?
No.
Have you ever told you something that wasn't for your benefit?
No.
See, when we were walking in sin, he come around and say, stop doing that. What'd you say? Well, yeah, you're right, Lord. It would be best, but I'm going to do it anyhow.
That's right.
That's what right. Iniquity really is. And he knows what it's like to be tempted like that.
Yeah.
Remember when he healed or he cast seven devils out of that prostitute woman?
Yeah.
The Bible says he didn't even look at her. Why? Because she was still in that probably immodest condition, and he was still human, like you and me, brothers,
yeah.
And didn't want to look at that woman because he would not be tempted by the things of the world. And when the Spirit of God comes into us, that's what happens to the world. Oh, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but a just man falls seven times,
amen.
But he gets back up
amen.
Seven
yes,
times. As we said before, as long as your number of get-ups is the same as you got downs, you're doing all right. Most people are always one behind, ain't they? Well, God delivered me of this, but now I have this. Oh, what is that? Come on. It should be, I'm saved,
yes.
Sanctified,
yes.
Filled with
yes.
The Holy Ghost. And I'm on my road to glory.
Amen.
Satan, you can keep throwing all these little darts you want to, but as long as you keep that shield of faith up, it'll deflect all the darts, all of them. Satan doesn't have a trick God ain't already figured out. Now, again, you go with him with your mind, with your thoughts, with your religion, with your belief, your whatever, he'll defeat you every time. He'll outwit you. He'll get it turned around to where you think it's going to glorify God and actually just makes you a disgrace. Because he's smart like that. You say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be a super Christian. And it won't last you 24 hours. You go, I can't do this.
That's right.
And God allows the devil to do it. And the devil will pick you around and poke you around. See, he told you serpent seed. Told you can't be saved. Told you this and that and that. And as long as you start listening to that, that's the way you'll start heading. Because the devil has no power in himself. He must take your power that God gave to the sons of God, the creative power of the Word of God. And as you speak, if you will speak his thoughts, the devil's thoughts, you will get the devil's results.
Amen.
That's right.
And what does he want? You dead. He wants you discouraged. He wants you not happy, and he wants you to burn.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he knows he has to.
That's right.
He's trying to convince himself he's going to win, but he knows.
Right.
He knows he doesn't have a chance. And especially when he finally gets kicked out of heaven. Aren't you grateful that we won't be here for that?
Amen.
Please, I'm trusting not to be tonight.
Amen. Amen.
I'm trying to stop the church, but God is the same. Saying, I got this littlest desire.
Amen.
He cares about that.
Amen.
What am I going to eat tomorrow? Yeah, he cares about that. Why don't you talk to him about it one time and see what God will do? He will show you miracles that happen around your life 24/7. You'll stop wondering if there's a God in heaven because you go, oh,
sure.
Yeah, he does take care of me all the time.
Amen.
Driving down the road, didn't see that car. Why didn't you hit it?
Yeah.
Other people, they're gone. What protects you? Even when you were a sinner and you should have died.
Yes.
I've been there.
Amen.
I've fallen off a bridge that's 30 foot high. How did I come out with a broken ankle and a couple of scrapes? God in his mercy showed me it was time to come back.
Right.
A son of God won't say that and curse God and say, why did you let this happen? He can go back and say, yeah, I know why that happened.
Amen.
Because I learned from it. I learned by the things that I had to suffer. Now the difference is Christ didn't suffer for his own mistakes.
Right.
We do all the time.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
How many trials have you gone through that weren't your own fault?
Amen.
I'd say it's few and far between. Most time it's,
yeah,
Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's the real test of Christianity tonight. And that's what I want to know. Is this in your heart right now? When you do right and people get mad at you? And people come against you. Do you fight back and try to prove that you're right? Or do you let it go? What does the Bible say? If you're buffeted for your faults, what praise have you? The sinners have the same thing. If you love those that only love you, what good does that do you? Will they do this to me? Do you love them?
Amen.
If you did, why are you telling me this? Are you telling me that I might pray for them? Or are you telling me so that when I say I see them, I will say, sinner?
Right. Amen. That's right.
If you're listening to a thought like that, I'm telling you right now, it's not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. I don't know if this song's in the book, but I like to sing that in everything, give him thanks. Sorry, keep you moving. If you know it, sing with me, and if you don't, it's pretty simple. I believe you'll be able to pick it up.
Everything, give him thanks, give him thanks, in everything, give him thanks, in the good times. Praise his name in the bad times. Do the same in everything. Give the King of Kings all the thanks.
All right, let's sing it together now.
Oh,
together. I ask you to take this moment seriously between you and the Savior. As I said, there ain't nobody else in the conference room right now. It's with you and Jesus Christ. And I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, if there is one doubt whether you'll be there or not, if there's one thought of doubting God's word, whether this is really true, whether Jesus Christ really is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if Jesus Christ really died for you, if there's any doubt of that, I believe if you lift your hands to Him and say, Lord, take this wicked thing out of my life. He sees your hands. He knows your hearts. There ain't no point in lying to Him. If there's anything in there, church, this ain't the time to be double guessing. This ain't the time to be thinking, well, maybe, I'm pretty sure. No, it's time to know where we stand with God. And that's been made available to us. He's come to show you who you are. That's why the message came, church, to show you that you are there. If there's anything you need to make right, this is the time to make it right with Him. Don't let it just be emotion. Don't let it just be alligator tears where you just cry just because you feel the presence. It needs to be from the innermost part of your being. Are you right with God Almighty, or are you living a lie? I'm not trying to scare you, but I believe that God has given us a place where we can know that we're saved. And He doesn't want us to settle for anything less than that. As I lead in prayer, if you have a need of anything that's been said tonight, I believe He is still the high priest right now. I believe there's still an atonement. moment to forgive you of all your sins, to heal you of any infirmity, of anything that's wrong. He will do it tonight if you'll accept it and let faith move in your life. Pray your own way with all your heart now. Don't pray because of brother so. Don't pray because brother Andrew said so. You talk to him now. Just like it's you and him in a room. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being here tonight, Lord, and with dealing with our hearts. How grateful we are to know that you are our high priest. That you are in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We thank you for loving us, Lord, when there was nothing good about us, but what you put in us. And you were able to look past our faults and see the need that we had of a Savior. And I pray, Lord, if there's one person here whose faith hasn't raised high enough to accept that salvation for themselves, that tonight would be the night.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't live in a realm of condemnation and guilt anymore, but that they would be set free, forgiven tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and that you would fill each soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and seal them, Lord, until the day of redemption. Lord, for those that have been sealed, I pray that every lying devil that keeps telling them that they're not going to be there, that, Lord, that they would raise up in faith and cast out every spirit of the enemy out of their life. Satan, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, leave this people tonight. You have no power, devil. You're lying. Don't listen to his lie now. Father, we thank you for the power of God. We thank you for being the same tonight as you've always been. We thank you that your love for us does not change. Father, help us, Lord, to dedicate our lives anew to you, to love you with all our hearts, to not serve you in form or fashion, not serve you in some box that we've come up with or because of what brother said or what anybody else has done, but just simply because we love you, Father. I pray that that love that only you have will be instilled in every heart tonight, that lives would be changed. Lord, that we would testify the things that prove that you're risen again, that you're still with us tonight. Lord, if there's one sickness in this building right now, if there's one pain, one infirmity, Lord, you know what it feels like, and you died that we wouldn't have to endure it. I pray you'd heal each one. You said you sent your word and you healed them. We send the word of God tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pronounce this congregation healed tonight of all infirmities. Let each one accept it by faith now. Just move in your people, Lord. Do with us as you please. Bring us into higher heights and deeper depths of your love. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. E flat, Dad. 296, if you want to use the book. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Stay in the right atmosphere. Don't get hasty now. Let God work with you. You say, well, my neighbor, no, don't worry about any of that. Look at what God is telling you tonight. So, sing that now. Sing it to him now.
There's just something about that.
It's 296.
He's our Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus.
Sing it to the Lord Jesus now. Lift his name up.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
to him. Lift your hands and worship.
Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, your wonderful Father.
Oh, heaven and earth.
Sing 305. All hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus.
Give him praise. Water that word. Grant it, Lord.
Eternity. I'm going to praise him. And forevermore I will praise.
Oh, believe it now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father.
I'd just like to read this scripture real quick in closing. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that's Holy Ghost knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you believe the word of God tonight, you're not establishing your own righteousness. Submit yourself that He is righteous and you are now in Him by being born again. Don't go about, don't leave this message trying to establish your own. Yield, submit to the righteousness of God. Saying, God, if you're still here, you're still with me, which He is now. I don't mean to say if like that. He is with you. He is here. And if He's filled you, He will live His life out of you. Let Him do it. Submit yourself. Don't become a legalist. Fall in love with Jesus. How many saw love, mercy, and grace tonight? Let's sing that.
I saw love, mercy, and grace.
Oh, friend. Yes, Father.
I saw love, mercy, and grace. I envision His beauty.
face I saw love.
Oh, just give Jesus a good look tonight and see His love and mercy and grace to you. Come unto the high priest, I pray.
I saw love.
Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I saw love of mercy.
Now, thank you, Jesus.
I saw love, the mercy and grace. I saw love, mercy and grace. I envision.
Tonight, Dad, we dismiss the service in prayer tonight. I don't mean to do things different. I just want us to dismiss service.
Thank you, gracious Jesus. King, how wonderful it is, Father, Lord, to hear the things, Lord Jesus.
Oh, that thank you, Jesus.
Kings, prophets of old have desired.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, looking for this time of this fulfillment of your church.
Oh,
Lord,
Jesus.
And how humbling it is to think that it's happening in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
In a little place Jesus. In Defiance, Ohio.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, in the many other places it could be happening, but you allowed us together.
Thank
in one
you for
place
your presence, Lord Jesus.
Under one thing,
thank
Father,
you for being
Lord,
with us to show us the word.
I ask, Lord, that you would.
Oh, grant
open our eyes. Let
yes, let us see the truth, Lord, of the angels upon
may
us.
May we
Lord
see,
Jesus.
Lord, our purpose to go and do
the
for you, Lord Jesus, at
yes,
all
Father.
Cost.
Yes, Lord.
Dumping everything in this world, all the things that we could have.
Oh, Lord, grant it, blessed
you,
Father.
You could have had everything, yet you dumped it just so that you could do
oh,
Father's will.
Oh, thank you,
will.
Jesus. Grant it to us, Lord,
Lord
Jesus,
Jesus.
Help
we
us, Father.
We have been born to never die.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We have been put on this earth, Lord Jesus, to be your life.
Forever,
to
Lord
be the guide
Jesus.
To all those, Lord, around.
Help us,
Father,
Lord
may
Jesus.
May we be sincere
yes,
about
Father.
Being serious with you, Lord Jesus.
Grant it tonight, Lord.
Thank you for this opportunity to hear your word.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I count it a privilege, Lord, that you would find it mindful.
Yes, Lord, to speak to
us, Lord Jesus, to be under your perfect will, Lord.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord.
Go with each one. May
yes,
they carry
Lord,
this light with them to everyone they meet.
Yes, Father.
May they realize that they are the ones that are to pack it and light the light of everyone else.
Yes, Father.
I ask them. Pray that you would grant it in Jesus
grant
Christ's
you.
Name. Be with us now, Lord, we ask.
Amen.
You're dismissed tonight. If you want to stay in and sing for a little while and pray, that's fine. But if you need to get going, let's do that. Let's just sing 300. Just any day now.
Just any
God bless you, saints.
Day.